your host, Jay Montgi.
And we're back on the fly down at Warbirds. Jay Montgi and EA Radio, AM 1210, 93.1 on the FM, and on the web at airventure.org. We are on the porch down here at Warbirds with Jim Zazas. Hey, Jim.
How you doing, Jaymon?
Yeah, it's good to see you again.
Oh, it's a pleasure, always.
Jim is a volunteer at Warbirds of America. He also brought a Warbird this year, a beautiful P-51 Mustang, and he brought his Lucky Luscombe along as well. So he flew two airplanes in. Luscombe's probably down at Vintage, and the P-51's up here. Tell us about the P-51 you brought.
The aircraft is a 1945 North American P-51D Mustang owned by Nathan Davis, Kokomo, Indiana. The aircraft was originally built in January 1945, but never saw service with the United States Army Air Forces. However, it was given to the Royal Canadian Air Force and saw service with the RCAF for approximately 15 years. And that time, it was transferred over to a private owner. The RCAF disposed of their aircraft, and many were bought by private individuals, and this was one of them. And over a period of years, it's changed hands, and Mr. Davis and Kokomo acquired this aircraft approximately 10 years ago. It was restored. He did a lot of work, and then he painted the markings of Herschel Green, Major Herschel Green, 325th Fighter Group out of Lazzarina, Italy. Quite the history with the markings on the aircraft. A lot of the fighter aces of that period have come out, and it brings back a lot of wonderful memories for them.
How many P-51s are here this year, do you know?
I believe that we're looking on the grounds 15, 16, possibly 17.
Well, that's a good number of P-51s.
It's a very good number.
You also do some volunteering in this business up in the announcer stand here during the air show. Tell us a little bit about what you do up there.
That's the part that I enjoy the most. You know, the spirit here at AirVenture is the volunteerism with everybody. And that's really what makes everything run smoothly here. And I've been working on the announcer stand close to 2 decades. And my position is that of spotter. I work closely with the narrator. I'm on a headset, on radio, and I serve the function as another set of eyes for the narrator. I help him pace the show. He narrates, he gives the descriptions of the aircraft, he describes the pilots that are flying it, but I will point out to the formations to him, the individual aircraft, something of attention, and then he's able to add the narration to it.
So it's quite a bit going on behind the scenes that folks don't see or know about even.
Well, there's a tremendous effort that goes on behind the scenes, and that's why everything runs so smoothly.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because I think people are pretty interested. Hundreds of people out on the flight line, thousands really here at Oshkosh. What does it take to put that show on?
Dr. Harrison had mentioned earlier that the planning for AirVenture begins the day after AirVenture ends, and we go into the next year. And the same is true for the Warbird Air Show. We have individuals, Wayne Boggs is our primary air boss, and then we have other individuals working closely with Wayne Boggs that actually develop the mechanics of the air show, the formation patterns. They find out who the players are, what type of aircraft, and then they're like a conductor in a symphony. And they get all the musicians together, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
During the actual air show itself, Air Boss is at a separate location from where I'm located with the narrator, but we can see him very closely. And he literally is the conductor, and he is orchestrating the movement of the aircraft and making sure that the planes, the pilots, follow what has been briefed. And that's something that I want to stress. We brief these shows very meticulously. The pilots that fly in the show are very qualified individuals. We won't accept anyone out of the blue that says, hey, I'm here with an airplane, I want to fly. No, every pilot has a very specific skill set, and his skill set is recognized and validated by other pilots within that group.
So if you go out and, say, buy a P-51 and you want to fly it as part of the air show at Warbirds, what's the process? What do they go through?
A lot of training, a lot of working with other individuals. And it's a unique experience to fly in the show. But you don't want to come to Oshkosh right out of the box and say, hey, I'm here, I want to fly. If the individuals know your abilities and you've worked with the other groups and you've trained with the other groups, then your chances of flying in the show are much greater. But right out of the box, most likely not.
And so do they get a qualification card then?
Per se to fly in an Oshkosh air show. The individuals that train go through a formation training on many different levels. And the clinics, these formation clinics are held in various spots throughout the country. And individuals train within, say, the Liaison aircraft. They train with the North American T-6. Yesterday, now, you know, an incredible demonstration of the T-28s and their formation abilities. And likewise for other aircraft.
Yeah, and we all look forward to that show. It's The military show is very popular here at Oshkosh, especially the Friday and Saturday shows. They're just fantastic. And when they're reenacting special dates, I know some years it's much more of a production than others. Some years they're actually celebrating an anniversary of something or what have you. Once they get the certification to do the formation flying, then there's stuff that goes on way before AirVenture starts, correct?
Oh, yes, very much so. They'll have formation clinics. You'll have individuals that'll gather to hone their skills to just the point of perfection. And they will bring that skill set here to AirVenture to give you the safest, most enjoyable show that EA AirVenture can provide.
And then you were saying that the fellow designs, somebody has to design the show, and it's probably that fellow that you work with.
That was Wayne Boggs, and that is Wayne Boggs. He works with other individuals to orchestrate the formations. He takes the players, who's going to be in the formations, and figures out the traffic patterns, altitudes of the fly, and puts the show together. And then he brings together the pilots and the formation leaders, and we have a very extensive briefing prior to the show. This takes place here in EA Warbirds of America here at our briefing building, and the briefings generally last about anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour and a half long, depending on the scope of the show and how long we're going to be flying. But all elements are brought into it. We brief the weather. We brief crash fire rescue. We brief the formations. We brief who's going to be where at what time. It's much more than just takeoff and landing times. Pilots got to know what block of airspace they're going to be holding, what altitude. And the air boss role is to orchestrate all this together and make it work.
And it sure looks like they know what they're doing for sure by the time they get out there. It is like a symphony in the sky when it takes place. It's really incredible.
Very much so. And it just is a testament to the professionalism of the people that we bring to fly in our air shows. Individual act has a large block of airspace to that individual pilot. But when you put 30, 40, 50, maybe 100 airplanes into that block of airspace, varying airspeeds, different altitudes, it takes tremendous skill and ability and above all professionalism to execute it safely.
So give us an idea, how much is a P-51 nowadays if you were going to purchase one?
Cost of the aircraft or cost to operate?
Both. Yeah, both.
Well, I'm just going on the basis of the aircraft that I'm flying. I would say that you're just shy of $2 million. I mean, that's a major investment of financial resources, but the owners, all of these aircraft, I don't care if it's a P-51 or an L-4 Cub. Everyone takes pride in their aircraft, and we're caretakers of history. We bring our aircraft out. Cost, we look at it, but it's not a major factor. We want other people to enjoy the aircraft, and we're thrilled to be able to share these aircraft.
Sure. And then we spoke of cost of ownership as a separate issue. How much fuel does a P-51 burn an hour?
That depends on how much power the pilot wants to apply. If he's at a lower power setting, maybe 45, 50 gallons per hour. If he's working a higher power setting, be twice that.
Well, assuming you're going cross country with the P-51, what would you be burning?
I'd be looking between 55, 60 gallons per hour, or that at the higher power setting. Coming here at AirVenture, I was working a lower power setting because I wanted to enjoy the ride. And sure. I was working about 48 to 49 gallons per hour.
And what a ride it is.
It's an incredible ride.
So tell us more about some of the things that you do down here at Warbirds.
Mostly my job was working on the announcer stand. I work very closely, hand in hand, with the airshow EA Warbirds of America airshow announcer, who is Danny Clisham. And we work together as a team. But I also work with the air boss and his associates for planning the show. And we're a team effort. Wayne is the air boss. He's in charge. Danny is my boss on the announcer stand, work with him. But we all work together as a team. Even though we're in different locations, we've worked together for so many years, we know how each other works and what's expected from each other. It's a lot of fun. It's very rewarding. It's an incredible learning experience. I would dare say anybody that out here that volunteers enjoys what they're doing. You know, they wouldn't volunteer if they didn't enjoy it. And we all enjoy what we're doing. We take our vacation. We take our days off. We come up here and we enjoy the camaraderie of our fellow pilots and our associates and our volunteers.
Tell us a little bit about the P-51 Mustang. It's for our listeners, everyone loves the Cadillac in the sky. In the movie, it said Cadillac of the sky, I think he said, the kid.
It's a Cadillac of the sky. It is an incredible aircraft. North American designed it in a very short period of time for a war contract. And it defies description in one way, that every time I strap the aircraft to my back, I realize that I'm about to fly a piece of history. And I will do everything to preserve that piece of history. But once that engine starts, it gives me goosebumps every time I'm there when I crank it. When I go out and run up the engine and really feel that power coming through that airframe and through my body, then I'm going, wow, I've got something special here. But that feeling is magnetized 100 times over when I take the runway. And I've done all my checklists, double check, make sure everything's ready. When I release the brakes and come up on the power and I'm accelerating down the runway, there's nothing to be compared.
Yeah, I think it not only gives you goosebumps, but any time the airplane goes by, it gives anybody who's even there goosebumps, even the ones who are watching.
Jay Marty, I'll share with you one of my special joys of flying this aircraft. I've been very fortunate to fly it. I've been incredibly fortunate. It's indeed a great honor. But what I enjoy the most is when I'm able to take somebody that's never been in the aircraft before and take them along with me. And when I come back and I see the smile on their face and the hoops and hollers of joy that they've been able to go out and fly in a piece of history. And many times their hoops and hollers of joy are much louder than mine.
Well, I'm sure.
And that's what makes it worthwhile for me as a pilot, being able to share this experience with them.
Now, most aviators, we know that there's special techniques involved with flying the P-51. You talked about taking the runway and pushing that power up. Lead us through what a normal takeoff would be like in a P-51, and then after takeoff, what activities you perform, and then back around for landing again.
The P-51 Mustang, I'll preface it by saying that the P-51 is a procedures and numbers aircraft. Very specific procedures that need to be followed, specific numbers to look at. But I go through my checklist. When I'm holding short of the runway, I'll go through and make sure that everything is where it's supposed to be. The switches are set, the trims are set. I have everything ready to go. I don't want to be distracted on the takeoff, but most importantly, I want to be safe. When I take the active runway, I'll bring the power up to about a field barometric pressure power setting, and I'm just doing a quick power check, make sure everything is where I want it to be. It's a last minute check. I'm listening to the engine. I'm feeling what it's doing. I'm checking my coolant temperature. I'm checking the manifold pressure, RPMs. When I'm satisfied, and it only takes a couple seconds to do this, when I'm satisfied, release the brakes, and I'll bring the power up into takeoff power. The engine for takeoff is rated at 61 inches manifold pressure, 3,000 RPM, which is an incredible amount of power, really phenomenal. But we're not operating in wartime conditions, so I'll take off at a lower power setting. And it accelerates very rapidly. The tail rises on its own. I'm using whatever I need for right rudder for my right foot to keep the aircraft straight. I'm looking straight ahead. And before I know it, I'm flying. And once I have a positive rate of climb, the landing gear comes up and I'm starting to reduce my power into a climb power setting. I'm scanning outside the aircraft. I'm also looking inside and checking, making sure everything is engine-wise where it's supposed to be.
I've been told that you have to be very careful about attitude on takeoff and on landing in a P-51 because of the prop clearance. Is there a point where you stop rotating, and how do you tell what that point is?
That's a good question. I allow the tail to rise on. You know, we have many forces working on it. Everyone talks about the torque on the aircraft, but we also have a gyroscopic force. That propeller, think of that 11.5-foot diameter propeller as a gyroscope spinning 3,000 RPM. We have P-factor. Pilots that fly light aircraft are very familiar with P-factor. We have a slipstream force. The airflow, the corkscrew airflow around the aircraft, the way it strikes the tail of the aircraft, trying to move the tail to the right, nose to the left. And we have another unique force on the aircraft that you find in a higher horsepower aircraft, tire friction. Think about all these forces trying to turn the aircraft to the left. The airplane is kind of heeling onto that left tire. So the tire friction is also to be compensated. You keep all these forces in mind when you take off, and you use whatever you need for right rudder to keep you straight. True, you have the trim set. You know, you put in 5.5 degrees of trim, how I personally like to do it. But you use whatever you need for right rudder by all means to keep that aircraft tracking straight ahead. In regard to your question for the tail, I do not push forward in the stick. I allow the tail to come up. I guide the stick and allow the tail to rise on its own. I do not want to put the aircraft in an attitude where I will get a prop strike.
What attitude is that?
That is something that you learn through the training and through feel.
just by looking.
When you learn to fly in a Mustang, you learn the attitude for takeoff where you don't get that. I can't put specifically a number for that.
It's just demonstrated to you, and you learn the sight picture, and you fly the sight picture.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. And for landing, it's the same way, right? Your landing procedures, you come in. Do you always wheel land a P-51?
Not always. Preferred is wheel landing, but there are situations where you'll do a three-point, you know, a shorter field, things like that.
That brings up a good question. What would you say the minimum length is to operate a P-51?
My personal minimums, you know, everyone has minimums. My personal minimums would be right now maybe 4,500 feet.
4,500 feet, okay.
But other pilots operate much shorter. I'm relatively new in the aircraft, so I'm not going to do anything to put this piece of history at risk. More importantly, I'm not going to do anything to put myself at risk. I respect the airplane, and as I gain experience, maybe those minimums will decrease a little bit. But right now, I've got my own minimums.
All right, Jim Zahn. Thank you very much for joining us down here in Warbirds today and teaching us a little bit about flying that beautiful P-51 and talking about the choreography of the air show, the Warbirds air show. Jaymont G, we're on the fly down here at Warbirds. It's a beautiful day, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.